This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan. Come on, Dan, Friday morning, we got to hustle on down to our last stop and then get back to the house and put you up and give the Trailblazer, put his feet up there in the old recliner and kind of get a little rest and get prepared for the Lord's Day and maybe just take it easy tomorrow, Saturday. And always something coming, somebody coming along wanting to talk. But we'll try to do that. But, oh, Dan, we'll make you comfortable. And you folks out there, would y'all write me and let me know if you're listening? And some folks are sending me money for old Dan for a sack of oats. Would you do that? Appreciate it. In our last study, we mentioned there how that the second coming of Christ is interwoven with all the other doctrines of God's Word. We're looking at today beginning at the surety or the certainty of the Lord's coming. After the day of Pentecost, one of the apostles, accompanied by John, we saw there where they were walking towards the temple, and they come across that man, that lame man. Then he directs the very definite message to their heart. Peter's talking to that bunch. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted, talking about old Barabbas. Then he calls on them to repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted. Let your sins be blotted out. Oh, my friend, is your sins blotted out? I tell folks, my sins, Lord can't see my sin. They blotted out. I heard a story of a little Sunday school class. A young boy was bringing the class, and a little teenager, and he had about 8 or 10 little boys in there, and he was struggling for something to say, and he said, any of you boys know what the Lord can't see? Thought he had them kind of quizzed a little bit. Any of you boys know what the Lord God of heaven can't see? Way back in the back, a little scroggly-looking little boy with his kind of toe-headed, raised his little old hand up, and he said, Mr. Teacher, he can't see my sins. They under the blood. Oh, my friend, broke up the class. Well, that's what I say. You know, I'm just like that little fella. The Bible calls us little children. He says, children, children, don't deny the children to come to me. But listen, listen. He says, if you repent, turn to him, not only will your sin be blotted out, but God will send him back from heaven. Yes, these disciples, they believed the simple declarative statement that Christ made in their ears, that he was coming back again. Now, I tell you this morning, the message that the Old Trailblazer bring is a simple declarative message that man is a sinner, born into sin, goes astray as soon as he's born, speaking lies, comes on to the age of accountability, a sinner. That's the simple truth, and that man alienated from God, but by the grace of God, Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now that's the message that the Old Trailblazer brings. All of the other is just fluff. Christ died to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Apostle Paul said. But my friend, it's a simple declarative message. I say to my folks here in this congregation where we are, some of our folks not saved, I say, hon, darling, mister, friend, Christ died for sinners. Can't you believe that? You believe the Trailblazer? You believe me, I tell you things that happened to me in my life. You believe that? You can believe the Lord far greater than you can believe me. Why not believe the Lord? The Apostle Paul told a Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And then some of our folks will say, well, old Trailblazer, you're going to preaching modernism. That's what the modernists say. The modernists are true when they say you must believe. Except ye believe, ye shall likewise perish. My friend, the scriptures tell us that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. What is your hope of heaven? Believe in the Lord. Believe him by what he says about you. Believe him that you're a sinner and that you must repent. Believe those things. That's right, my friend. But listen now, let's go back to our study. Let's go back to our study. They believed the simple declarative statement that Christ made, that he was coming back. It dominated their thoughts. It molded their conduct. And John said, he that hath this hope within him purifieth himself. It is the individual who makes light of and belittles and minimizes the second coming of Christ whose life is given over to worldliness, whether it be in the pulpit or the pew or out there in the world, my friend. Turn with me, if you have time, if you have your Bible there, quickly, to the 15th chapter of Acts. Here we have the story of the first church council gathered together there at Jerusalem to deliberate on spiritual things. They found in that council that to understand this age, they must understand that God was not seeking to convert the world, but to call out from among the Gentiles a people for his name. This was to be done by grace through faith in his Son. And this calling out is complete, and every one of God's elect of this age has been brought into the fold. Then the Lord will come back. James quotes the prophet Amos saying, "I will return." That early church labored in the gospel to preach or to reach every one of God's elect and waited then for his Son from heaven. When the last one of God's elect has been called out by the Holy Spirit, justified by faith in Christ, then we'll hear the shout of the Lord in glory coming. Folks ask me, do I know when the Lord's coming? I said, yes, I know. When every one of his elect is called out, brought to know the Lord, called into the fold, oh, my friend, won't that be glory? Then these would-be great and noble preachers who laugh at and make fun of and belittle the second coming of Christ will be left behind. That's right, be left behind. That's right, be left behind. God pity individuals like that. May the Lord have mercy on them. The scripture says the Lord prayed, "Forgive them, Lord, they know not what to do." Now, Paul's letter to the church at Rome, we find, as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, For we know, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. What are the first fruits? Joy, peace, love, long-suffering, all of those, my friend. Go there and read, I believe it's the 6th chapter of Galatians. Oh, but listen, the redemption of the body, Romans 8:22. I tell you, folks, it'll be good just to take time out and listen and to meditate upon what's going on in this old world, all the struggles and the tragedies and those things. The scripture here, the verse we read, just put your ear there. It's just like when we was kids on the bank of the river. You could pick up one of those old seashells and hold it to your ear, and you could hear the sea roaring in those shells. But, oh, my friend, in other words, you'll hear and feel that the whole creation groaneth in pain together on tiptoes of expectation, waiting for the coming of our Lord. The whole earth today is in one expectation, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord, from whom all blessings flow. When the Lord God of heaven shall descend with his mighty host, then shall all creation break her bands of corruption and be delivered into the glorious liberty of the Son of God. Brother, sister, friend, our hope lieth in his return. There's no hope in the church. This hope here, this church here, you can't depend on this church, my friend. You can't depend on the pastor. No, listen. That hope of the church, that is the hope of the believer, take that away and we're all hopeless. We're in the dark dungeons with no light. Brother, this battle-stained, sin-scarred earth will be delivered one day at the second coming of our blessed Lord. Then our hearts cry, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." Oh, Pendarvis cried, "Come, Lord, come." The Apostle John said, "Come, Lord, come quickly." That's the prayer of every born-again believer, I believe. As we look around and see the name of Christ and the name of our God taken in vain, trampled underfoot by man, woman, and children, rejected, resisted, rebelled against, our cry is, Lord, come. Lord, come. Christ, come, deliver. Someday that prayer is going to be answered, my friend. One day, and I don't believe it's going to be long. The old Trailblazer's honest belief is that I'll be living when the Lord comes. I believe that. I've thought a lot about it, about I don't know where I'll be or what I'll be, or maybe going on, be buried out here in an old lonely cemetery somewhere. I don't know. But, my friend, I have no reason to believe that I won't be living. Y'all know how old I am already without me telling you. But, my friend, let's look up. Let's don't be going around with our head hanging down. I tell some of our folks, they used to have an old comic strip named Little Abner, and then one of the characters in that strip was called Lonesome Joe. He walked around, always with a black cloud over his head, always looking down. Don't do that, my friend. Look up. Look up. Our redemption draws nigh. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you rejoicing with the Trailblazer that one day soon we'll be taken up? And it doesn't matter whether it's day or night. It doesn't matter if we're on a mountain. It don't matter if we're in the grave. The matter is, our Lord says, I will return. I will return and take you by force, kidnap you, receive you unto myself. And that's the joy of my heart, joy of your heart if you know the Lord. Let me just ask you, old trucker out there on I-40, are you saved? You going to get back home tonight with that load of hazmat stuff behind your old trailer back there? Or maybe a load of cows or horses or something? My friend, that thing turned over up there somewhere in the gully out in Colorado. You won't never know what hit you. Are you saved? Can you go on day by day and never think about your soul, individual? You folks who hear me on a regular basis, oh, I love the old Trebley. Well, do you love your soul, my friend? Are you concerned about your soul? I know you don't hear this on the average Sunday morning preacher and the television preacher. I know that. They don't ask you about your soul. They don't have guts enough to ask you. They don't have courage enough to ask you, or you say, they're afraid they'll offend you. Folks tell me, said, oh, Trailblazer, you're going to run off all your good givers. They know this ministry depends on the Lord giving our folks money to give. But I said, well, if they're gone off, they wasn't true and faithful anyhow. I have folks have left here under a cloud. Oh, my friend, this is the old Trailblazer broadcast Friday. Now, going back to the home 20 tonight, this afternoon, back now, looks like kind of cloud. I heard it thundering out there a while ago. But I'll be back before it rains and get old Dan some fresh hay. Just kids will be coming over and seeing how old Trailblazer's doing. Would you pray for me? Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Pray for me. Call me if you will. Goodbye. If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the Old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.